Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Central Stadium, an iconic sporting venue. As part of a major fundraising drive, My Stadium Seat is offering you the chance to place your name or the name of someone who loves GAA on a seat at the Field of Legends. Packages from €100 include seat naming plaques, certs of authenticity, online biographies, and open day tickets. Show your support. Visit mystadiumseat.com. Central Stadium, where every name matters.
Welcome to Etro Radio, the Premier View podcast. Today I'm...
That could be the intro. Let's cut it there. That's the pod done.
Yeah, that's yeah. He should have just left us. Yeah. Just went to it. If we don't laugh, we'll cry.
We'll get going quick. Hello and welcome to episode 80 of the Premier View podcast. Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan from St. Mary's and I'm joined by Colin Purcell from Clonmelogue, Sean Smith from Turles Arsfields and Stephen Cronin from Carrick Davins. There's only one topic of discussion here today and that's Tipperary's exit from the Munster Championship, bowing out with a heavy defeat against Cork, thus meaning that for the first time in the round robin series we go out with four straight losses in a row. Are we at a crisis point for Tipperary hurling? Don't all come in at once. How low have we fell?
I think that's the minute silence there, Kevin. We're having for the death of Tipperary hurling this year. I suppose look at Conor Cruise O'Brien probably doesn't get a mention a lot on GEA podcast, but I was thinking about Conor Cruise O'Brien coming home yesterday. He famously coined a phrase back in the early 80s: "Goo boo, grotesque, unbelievable, bizarre, and unprecedented." And I think there's an element of goo boo about yesterday and about Tipperary this year. And even before I start on yesterday, I mean, the whole year so far has been one unmitigated disaster as far as I'm concerned. We start off at the start of the year by losing to Kerry. We have a very poor league. We struggled to beat Laois. A 1-point win over Kilkenny's B team in a desperate bad game. Beaten at home by Dublin. Hammered by Waterford in the league. And then had a pretty worthless game against Antrim where we scored a lot of goals. We've lost four of our championship games for the first time ever. I think our scoring difference at the end, when I looked at the table last night, was minus 31. So that's what an average of eight points a game that we're losing. So that's the reality of it. Before we even get to yesterday, like I've been calling all the time for Colin Bonner to be given a fair chance, but it's very hard to defend that stance given the poor I suppose, mental and physical preparation of the team. Very poor tactics again yesterday. You know, I see on Premier View today people talking about strength and conditioning and fitness. I'm no expert on that, and I don't claim to be an expert on anything really when it comes to hurling. But again, our guys looked gassed after 20 minutes yesterday. We looked tired, we looked beaten, we looked deflated. And just another thing, you know, that struck me again yesterday. There's a huge disconnect, in my opinion, between the Tipperary hurling public and this team. I you know, people have been talking about the poor attendances all year, and I know attendances have been poor generally across GAA this year. You know, I was looking at the game in Nolan Park. You know, definitely wasn't a sellout. Waterford have struggled to sell out Walsh Park. You know, there hasn't been massive crowds. But for the first time in my lifetime, there's a disconnect with this team on an absolute massive scale. And I trace it back right back to when, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking about him later, when Liam Cal didn't take the job last year. I felt a lot of people got a bit peed off with that. Then when Colin was appointed as the manager, I think, you know, it didn't exactly set pulses racing. Then we had the whole debacle about who was going to be his backroom team. That seemed to drag on forever and a day. And then when the lads played their first game this year, they were beaten by the mighty Kerry. So, you know, from start to finish, the year has been, you know, has been a disaster. And it you know, I thought it couldn't get any worse than the Clare game in Semple Stadium. But actually yesterday was worse. It was farcical at times yesterday. And made more farcical by the fact that you had Cork guys fumbling the ball, you know, dropping passes and going down a second and a third time to pick up the passes, but a Tipperary man not 10 or 15 yards near him. You know, it was like it was a turkey shoot.
Colin, I think the one thing you're missing there is I think the Miller Shields, you have, you know, the chronological layer of the year. But like, yeah, again, I think that showed a bit of naivety there, that the management thought that they could find maybe unearth a few gems or whatever. Like, but maybe they were looking in the wrong places there. But bar that, you're 100% right.
Look, at the end of the day, Kevin, you know, I'm like, you know, you don't want to be like, because we're all involved in clubs ourselves, we're all involved in GA, and we're all involved for the love of GA, and you don't want to be calling out players or criticizing management. And I'm not here to do that. I'm here as a genuine Tipperary hurling supporter talking. I am absolutely devastated, disappointed, disgusted over yesterday and over the year in total. It's been a complete waste of a year as far as I'm concerned. We've unearthed maybe two or three players. Like,
let's say one.
Anything.
Craig Morgan.
Yeah, maybe Craig Morgan, but it's not as if Craig Morgan dropped out of the sky or anything. I mean, Craig Morgan has been marked down for a while as a guy who was going to come onto the panel and was going to make the team. You know, the rest of the players have regressed. The class of 2012, we call them, that minor class, they've regressed. You know, and look at it, I've said it on every single podcast. Colm has been given a very poor hand this year. He was dealt a very poor hand between injuries and retirements and different things. But still, yesterday's performance is not acceptable. It's just not acceptable. And the performances I've listed out there in my tirade of desperation, you know, where each and every one of them were as bad as each other. And yeah, lastly, Sean, go on.
Yeah, no, you're grabbing, but Sean, I think, you know, it's fair to say we just never, like, I'd say we never got going all year, but we did for about 5 minutes yesterday, and, you know, race into that great start, 6-point lead. It was like in the group, someone said, you know, we did look a bit flat in the warm up, and then that was a bit, you know, after 5 minutes, you're thinking, oh, rubbish, like, you know, we're well in tune here. But like, I think over the next half an hour, we scored about 5 points. The old failings from this year really came back to haunt us. And just like, it's just Tipperary hurling looks in a very bad place. And we're just so far behind the other four counties.
Like, we're kind of given a dream start, for all accounts. Like, Clare were rampant on Ennis. They're going to hold out there. We're a couple of minutes in, we're like, lads, we have actually a chance here of literally robbing Thurspa and Munster, which would have been an absolute robbery. And the shot off the post, like, did we hit that post last year, the year before, and did Clare score to the end again, another goal? Was that
yeah, it was Winder 2018, you know, Jake Morris's kind of...
Yeah, the same post, and it came up, like, but even if we got that goal, like, will we held out? I don't know, but that's a huge swing, but then we just clapped. The second half, like, I was reading articles saying Examiner and Independent, they used the word pathetic, like, that was the word I was using, like, describing Tip second half, so I don't know.
Yeah, and, like, we conceded once again in, you know, 3 goals, 30 points.
3-24 from play as well, which is absolutely frightening.
Yeah,
that's scandalous. Like, I don't know. Like, was there, like, I don't know where to look, to be honest. It's just kind of baffling by everything. Cork were Cork, you couldn't get him out of third stand tonight. You think, kick him out the door.
Do you think, look, Colin's had his first year, Bonner's had his first year. Do you think he's hard enough now to make a few hard calls, a few tough calls, and maybe a few lads that are there treading waters, maybe set to really reset? As you said, as Colin said, maybe there he was dealt a poor hand this year. Might have not, with injuries and the like, might have not been able to implement all his ideas. But look, if you're him now, you had him in a room for 2 minutes, what do you say to him?
To be honest, we all know hand he was dealt with this year. But on that as well, there were six starters yesterday that have won two All-Irelands with Tipperary. Now, these are not 35-year-olds that are struggling on. Seamus Kennedy's probably the oldest of those six starters, 29, the others then are 28. And so these are lads that are, you'd be thinking, are in their peak. You know, the lads before him, Shamey, Noel obviously still there, Brendan Paul, these were superstars. But the class of 2016, I'll call them, they weren't just, to use a movie expression, they weren't just what do you call it, stand-ins, you know, like these were a strong supporting cast. You know, like these lads are talented. These lads are extremely good hurlers. I feel if Colin Bonner stays on another year, we don't know what his plans. He'd be given a 3-year plan. But not only does he have to look to his playing staff, he has to look to his own coaching staff. He has to look in the mirror of his own self. I don't feel we knew we had a game plan. I couldn't describe what our style was this year, what our identity was. I watching the game yesterday and I was watching both sets of forwards and what are they doing that's so much better than what we're doing, you know, because I wanted to see it for myself. And it's like, does it all come back to speed? And I take Noel McGrath for example. Noel McGrath's not the quickest, but he was everywhere. Without Noel McGrath this year, we would have been in a complete mess. But I watched Cork's forwards on their pocket, on their own pocket. Conallahan, what did he score? He must have scored 6 or 7 points yesterday.
7 from play.
But he'd make a dart. He would run to the wing for the ball. He ran with purpose. He ran with intensity. And he basically told the whole stadium, give me that ball. I watched their lads. And this was throughout the whole Cork forward line. I watched their lads doing it, right? You'd one lad, pretend little jink, going nowhere. Another lad then was just trotting around in the circle, going nowhere. One lad then just jogged away out of the vicinity. It was purely to bring his man away with him. No tip forward made a run there to say to the keeper, give me that ball. There were, like, I feel what it looked to me yesterday was, we go out on the training ground. We do our hurling drills. We do our fitness, our runs. That for me is not adequate enough, but we do our hurling drills, we play our mixed matches. We don't have a coaching setup where we say, right, lads, this is what I want from you. This is what we're going to work on all year round. This is how we're going to be known this year. And it's just, it was absolutely shocking to watch yesterday. Like, we got a fast start, and John asked, could we have kept it up? And I believe, even if Noel scored a penalty, I believe no, we wouldn't have. Because what yesterday felt like was 15 lads were given the jerseys, 1 to 15. Now lads go out and hurl. There's no direction. We don't know what we're doing when we're in possession. The comfort that Cork, the comfort Cork had on the ball in possession was miles apart from how Tip were in possession. They like, there was a passage in the second half there. The Cork lads, I think it could have been the centre back, poked the ball to the halfback with a tip man 5 or 6 yards away, and it felt like a training session. It was like, I don't mind that tip man being there. I'm giving him the ball, you know. And it was so, Cork out muscled us yesterday. You know, a team known for the last 10 years that wouldn't go into a dark room out muscled Tipperary. You know, like the whole system has to be looked at in Tipperary. Like, I know maybe it is a bit of a tip arrogance. But Tip should be leading the way. They shouldn't be following. Granted, we won't win all Ireland's every year, but you still need to, every year you need to review the year that's gone by and what do we do going next year. And that review has to start from the county board, down through the management, down through the players. Because what went on this year should not be accepted in Tipperary circles. And that's even with the hand that's dealt the management this year.
And I suppose the disappointing thing that I'd say, look, without having any insight into what's going in and on in the setup, that is that these players, many of which, as you said, have won two All-Irelands, that, you know, that they've just let the year completely drift away from them by all accounts. I mean, there's too much. Every game we looked either gassed in the strength and conditioning has, you know, we've looked the unfitter team in each of the games. I see Declan Fanning on the Sunday game strongly hinted at it last night. Declan would be a judge, you know, that you know, would give an honest opinion there as well. So there's too much in that, I think, to ignore. Yes, the county board could say that they might have started to address that now with the Satan to link up, but, you know, it just doesn't, for this year, I think that we're just so far behind, and I think that we're already starting, you know, assuming at this stage that we actually just avoid the ignominy of playing for a place in Munster next year. I just think it would be so hard to kind of turn this around in 12 months.
Go ahead, Colin.
To pick up a bit on Stephen's point there. Like, if you look at our tactics, I mean, like, the dogs on the street were talking about the Clare game, and after the Clare game, that we gave them too much space for fast lads to run into. We did exactly the same thing again yesterday. We gave Cork too much space for fast lads to run into. Like, what did we think was going to happen then? You know, a team like Cork are going to punish you if you give them time and space. If you give these guys, Lahan and these boys, an inch, they will take a mile off you. The way to play them is get up and into their faces, cut down the space, you know, block up the channels. We did none of that yesterday. And, you know, not only was our fitness questionable to me this year, I'd also say our skills, our decision-making, our resilience, all of which I would call into question. You know, our shooting at times throughout the Munster Championship has been very poor. You know, goal scoring, we talked about it in the league. You know, we carried very, very little goal threat in the league. We've carried very, very little goal threat in the Munster Championship as well. I know we've created some chances, but the execution of the chances, and I know, Kevin, you would have said that, you would have called that after the second game, that the execution of chances from some of the lads was very poor as well. And I suppose just on the county board, I mean, I'd like to know what happened. Did the county board just say, kind of shrug their shoulders at this now and go, well, that's the year over now, we move on to the club championship and we forget about what happens this year? Or does somebody actually stop and think, hold on a bleeding second, this wasn't good enough this year? There's a complete, as I said earlier on, a complete disconnect and apathy from the Tipperary hurling public towards the team at the moment. And where you see a knock-on in that as well is, if I go around to houses now selling county board draws, which I do, county board tickets, you know, to people, you know, and don't forget that half of that money goes back into the club. A lot of people will say to me, oh, Jesus, I'm not giving that used to shower any money. Do you know what I mean? What are they doing? Like, so, you know, there's so much wrong. And I don't know, you know, I see people on Premier View today mentioning about, you know, a full root and branch review needs to be done. And I don't know. You do that, but where do we end up with at the end of that? Like, you know, I think there's so many problems there at the moment. I really don't know.
Every year is reviewed, Colin, but I, you know, I'd agree, as in it's who's doing the review. If it's just the county board having an internal one, I mean, look, they're great at launching initiatives, being the Satanta one, or, you know, a few years ago we had Alan Quinlan and stuff being involved with some fundraising thing, but, you know, like, I know COVID's kind of come, but like, did that never come out of that? Like, you know, there's, like, it's like the politicians turning up to the openings of things. Like, it's great, but like, where's the actual evaluation of what we're doing? You know, like, it's not just that. I think even you mentioned, like, the quality of our video analysis must be absolutely shocking if we're still shooting from the end line and in the sideline in our fourth Munster Championship game. And, you know, just with the success ratio has been shown for the last few games, it was just, you know, basic stuff, the handling, the puck outs looking clueless. Like, no, like, if we can't get something as basic now in the modern inter-county game as video analysis right, you know, I just think that, like, there's no point having a massive root and branch review of every other structure if the people doing the work that's there isn't right. Like, you know, and yeah, I know, Kevin, it's a very disheartening place to be in.
Yeah, and look, I'll shut up after this, but looking at the game yesterday, I was almost having an out-of-body experience watching the game. This isn't the Tipperary hurling that I know, or that's not the Tipperary jersey that I know. You know, I know people were laughing on Premier View earlier on the year saying we're not Laois or we're not Westmeath. Well, we weren't far off it yesterday. You know, I've been saying all year on this podcast, the big challenge this year is to stay competitive, it's to stay relevant. We're neither competitive or relevant at the moment. We're probably ninth out of nine hurling counties. I don't think I'm being too harsh by saying that. That's probably where we are. I mean, who would we beat in Leinster outside of Westmeath or Laois? Would we beat Dublin? Would we beat Wexford? I don't think so.
I'd agree with Colin there. I think our Tipperary team wasn't, I don't think for a second they were coached properly at all this year. Right? We talk about we're in transition and, you know, we're not putting 15 debutants on the pitch here. We're putting some seasoned players on the pitch. We're putting lads. Tipperary club hurling has probably been in the healthiest state it has been in a long, long time. We had 3 or 4 different winners the last 4 years. You know, there's no one team dominating the whole lot. Now, just for instance, let's say we're in a very, very poor state in the club scene where you could say, look, we don't have the hurlers anymore. Good coaching, good structure, good tactics, proper fitness will make any team play better. You know, you'll make average players play better. We have very good players playing terribly. And that comes back to lack of direction on the training ground. What are we doing? Are we playing a mixed match up in training, right? And we're saying, right, lads, here's what we're trying to do. The keeper's trying to poke the ball out to the corner back of the wing back, and then we're trying to move the ball 1 or 2 places up the field and deliver a lovely ball into a moving forward, okay? Are we going out and practicing that in the hurling field and then saying, when one lad gets the ball and the forward's not making the run, are we stopping training and saying, why aren't you making that run? Are we recording these trainings that the lads can say, look, I don't mean to name check. Look, Jake, why didn't you make that run there? Why are you in the crowd here when your strength is receiving the ball on the wing, receiving the ball in the corner, turning the man, popping over the back? Are we doing any of these things? I think for the most part, our players have regressed this year. You know, I don't really want to name check players, but for the most part, Arno and McGrath, all the players that we expect to stand up and deliver even through tough times of Tipperary hurling, they haven't. You know, Craig Morgan came in there, Carl Barrett, it was in the same bracket as Noel. I think he had a very good year. He didn't let us down. His form didn't dip. Craig Morgan came in there and made that corner back his own spot. Where's the improvement of the lads that were on the fringes? I thought one or two of the forwards would step up there. Now, Shamey Callanan, the spotlight is often, the focus is on these lads because they are now the main men. And to be honest, for me, they've wilted. You know, this comes back to the training ground. What are we doing to get the best out of them? And I think to say the players are not there. Look, maybe the players are not there to win all out. That's fine. I'll accept that while we're trying to find these superstars like we had before. But there's no one going to tell me the players are not there for us to be competitive, to be getting through Munster, to be getting to quarterfinal all-Ireland semi-final or wherever it be. There's no way this Tip team, with them, when you go through these names, that they should be the whipping boys of Munster. We're potentially going into a relegation match. That's people can talk about it, but this, at the end of the day, this is Tipperary hurling. This is, you know, and we're looking at a relegation match into a Joe McDonagh Cup. Confidence is an all-time low, and we could potentially be facing a team whose confidence are on the up and have beaten us already this year. You know, you asked your first question in the start of the cast, are we in crisis mode? We are absolutely 100% in crisis. We are red panic alarms. And I was going to say we're knee deep in the shit, but we're not. We're chest deep in it. And something serious needs to happen between now and the start of next season. And
the worst thing is, Stephen, you hit the nail on the head, is that we don't know that this is the low point of the year and that we might have this relegation playoff to go to. So, like, we can't actually assess the year as a whole yet because, you know, there is that kind of spectre on the horizon with all of the Antrim jerseys on in a couple of weeks' time, which is mad. You know, like, normally...
you can be sure, though, that once if Tip and up, or if it happens, lose to Kerry, you can be sure there'll be 16 in the Championship next year. Now.
Yeah, there will.
I think there will, but all the Offaly lads
and all the Waterford lads, they'll never let you forget it. Like,
no.
That they would have had to change the rules for Tipperary. That's how far we've
gone. That's the same. That's how bad it is. Like, the most counts could end up changing the competition just to have Tip in because our name. But as Stephen said there, like, our name is big enough. We should be in this position going out getting fucking hockey. Like, you know, it's some fight. The disconnect between the public and the team is an awful lot. Like, even over the staff is like pulling pints to the bar. I say there was 10 Tip, there were 200 car people in there. Even before the match, watch people walking to the stadium, the same thing. Afterwards, Tip lads couldn't go out fast enough, they're gone. Like, you know, it was, but there's no even, before the match, there's no kind of excitement or we might do it or, gee, I'd love to see him give a form. Everyone's like, oh, I'll go in here now, sure. I showed up anyway, kind of way, you know, it's kind of a chore. Like,
the fixture, yeah.
It's a chore, like, I don't know where to go, like, it's kind of, I don't know. Literally don't know.
Yeah, we're in a very bad place here. And the very basic of... I'm still going to call us a top inter-county team is fitness levels have to be correct. You can be going through a bad patch. You can, you know, 15 of our lads could have retired last year and the next 15 should be as fit as any other county around. And it's not. And this whole thing then was... We touch back to the Setanta. Well, look, we started it this year. We'll see the fruition of it. When Liam Sheedy came in 2008? Like, we didn't need 3 or 4 years to get our fitness levels up to the top tier. Our fitness levels got there. In 2009, when Kilkenny pipped us in the other, we were fitter than Kilkenny. In 2010, we were fitter than Kilkenny. Like, and they were the standard bearers at the time. I don't buy this excuse that we're not fit because it's only Santa's first year.
No, they're there previously, Stephen. They're in the gym, Santa, the last number of years. It's just the link is all grades now. The senior draw is in the Santa gym last year.
Look, two games this year, we wilted coming down the straight or whatever. Our fitness definitely wasn't there. And in the other two games, we were beaten by the time fitness would have come into question anyway, like, you know, in the Cork game and in the Clare game. So, you know, we were chasing. So, fitness didn't even come into it, as I said, because, you know, we definitely
game was over
the two games. Yeah, yeah, the game was over, exactly. It's probably the most easiest thing to identify going forward next year.
Yeah, and that's interesting, Kevin, because, like, this year, like, it was almost like none of us had massive expectations of this year. Okay, nobody had. Okay, but what we hoped to get out of this year, or certainly what I would have hoped to get out of this year, was some sort of pattern of play. And our identity back, you know, with that pattern of play, a better puck out strategy and some green shoots for next year. Honestly, I have none of that tonight. None of it. Can't see any of that in anything that I've seen this year. And I go right back to the very first, it was a very miserable, shitty, wet night above Portlaoise. And I went up to watch them play that night. Mm-hmm. And I came out scratching my head that night. And I came out with Thurles scratching my head again yesterday. I have seen absolutely nothing for next year. Nothing. You know, so a last year.
We gave everyone involved a lot of rope, as in we accepted poor league performances from that, you know, first poor least recollection was people just wanted to get out of there. It might have been, you know, first week of February or whatever. It was horrible. Whether you could read very little into it. The Kilkenny game, you know, the alarm bells arguably should have been ringing after that, coupled with a no-show against Dublin when we had a chance to make the knockout stages of the league. What that doesn't do for what when you don't make the knockout stages of the league, though, it gives you a chance to get into camp mode, practice all your puck outs and all that, get your fitness levels. You have a straight, you can plan every session, you know, without your matches, and it just looks like we wasted that as well.
Like, there's club teams around with better puck out and game strategies than Tipperary. You know, that's desperate, like, you know, and like we've. It's not rehearsed. It's not like Cork, Jesus Christ, the amount of time a Cork fella could get the ball, close his eyes, pop a pass, and it'd go to exactly where he knows the man should be. You know, Cork's game plan, they looked out of this world compared to us. They made us look like schoolboys, like a junior team, a senior team versus a junior team. And this is not a Cork that's been winning All-Ireland the last few years. I've been setting the world alight. This is a Cork team that has been brutal the last few years. And they made us look 10 times worse. And they're like, you know, as I said, we gave a lot of rope. Nobody expected to win an All-Ireland. But to be this bad this year is, in my eyes, it's unacceptable for Tipperary. You know, and...
And, you know, I think it all does come back to Colin Bonner. It would be more unusual in GA to change your manager after a single year. Horace Fannin springs to mind of Waterford when there was behind-the-scenes issues. I do think, you know, if Bonner does get the nod to stay on, which I think, you know, he should, anything like this year again next year, and there'll be no third year, I think that we'd all accept that there has to be something, or would you actually think that setup should be shaken up a bit more over the coming months?
Well, like, who does it bring in?
Sorry, go ahead.
Like, player-wise, people saying we've other hurlers county. Like, to be honest, lads, I don't think the hurlers are there. Some lads are great club players. They're not county players. Like, there's names you mentioned, like Brian O'Mara maybe is one, like Niall O'Mara being, but there's not, like...
Colonies, yeah.
There's not Connolly maybe, but he suppose there's an interest. Like, you can't hold a lad's hand and drag him into the setup. Like, and then, if not there, why aren't they there? Like, you know, like, you just got to look like at our record of club outside of the county. Like, we're getting, not like a lot of clock more should have won this year. Other than that, like, what's our club standard at? Like, we've often played challenge games against Limerick and Cork teams and got bet, like, and they seem a different league ahead of us. So, like, our players just not there. Like, even this year, I know the 20s and minors were well managed and set up to look like they had tactics, which I thought was what we want from seniors in a game plan. But, like, are them players going to step up? But the thing was, them players were got from other clubs. They went to clubs where he wouldn't naturally go, which I liked. Like, are we looking at the wrong clubs for the players? Like, you know, outside the big five or six, is there players in other clubs that the minors looked at in the 20s they pulled in? Like,
yeah, and I think that's senior to go. Arguably a very important point. You know, three of us would be from kind of south clubs, maybe unheard of south clubs as well. And it, like, you could be a very good hurler, but if you're not in the Tipperary setups, you know, from at under 14, under 15, you will drift further back because you're not getting the same level of competition down south. You know, I've harked back about the no school in the Harty Cup or whatnot. Like, you know, if you're not getting at a younger age, you know, we'll assume that they all have the same talent between, you know, like a focus on football and all the rest of it. You will drift back, and Tipperary isn't maximizing all this population there. So I would think that, like, yeah, in that regard, the underage structures need to be looked at a bit. But, like, you know, also you raise a kind of few key points. I think it's maybe too big of a step up for, like, you know, an intermediate or a junior hurler to go straight into a Tipperary team now. But, like, to look closely at that under 20 team in particular and target a few lads that really could the attributes that we're looking for and to bring them into the setup, you know, I think is key.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I'd agree to an extent that, like, I think the junior intermediate is too big a step up unless you've been in around the setup growing up all along. Like, but maybe we have to stop looking at superstar hurlers all the time. Like, you know, one lad is playing well for his club. Maybe you have to kind of cash roy a little bit differently. Maybe we have to look at athletes who may not have the same hurling skills as Noel McGrath, let's say, but they might have physical attributes that can, it's a running game now. It's a modern, it's pace and power now. Maybe we have to start looking at those kind of lads. Maybe we have to start, to be honest, I don't know where we have to start, but our structures from 17 up to the senior setup have to change, have to improve. It should be a clear pathway for the step up. Like, it should never be like a new alien world when you step from 17s to 20s, from 20s to senior level. Like, we've heard stories now of one of the Limerick boys couldn't play the All-Ireland under 20 final there yesterday because he played with the seniors. Like, do we have anyone and I think the Cork had the same issue as well, or might have been last year, but do we have anyone in our 20s set up that's ready to
that we could say he's ready to step up into the panel now next year. You know, like the whole review, a review of the whole lot has to be looked at. You know, like smart people have to get back involved in looking at how would we improve in Tipperary as the county set up. I think we do have a small problem with look, if a lad made it under 14, he's probably going to get an easier chance at minor and 20s before a lad who might develop a little bit later. We have a big problem in that regard, I think. You know, if you're not in there with under 17s, you probably won't be. You'll find it very hard to get in with the 20s. That kind of stuff has to change. You know, and maybe we need to be bringing more and more kids into all these setups. Then where do we get the time? You know, it's very demoralizing to see what's after happening there. And for Tipperary, I don't think this should be. We can't just let this fester. We can't hope next year is better. We have to look hard this winter and see where we can improve.
Yeah, and I suppose on that note, we'll have to leave. You know, we might have a more rounded discussion over like the inter-county kind of, you know, state of where we are over the coming months, maybe, you know, in a window when the club championship does go quiet. But any last words about Tipperary 2022 before we discuss the other games?
Can we talk about Waterford now, please?
Yeah, well, silver linings and all that, Colin, I suppose. I suppose Waterford, whatever about Tip, we might have been in our heart of hearts expecting not to go out, but Waterford were, you know, to quote one of their most famous, whoever beats them will climb the steps. And that means I can narrow it down to everyone that's still in the All-Ireland Championship and from Munster, because, you know, they were rubbish. And no other way of putting it. I was trying to think, you know, I was Googling for something funny to say, like the worst decisions in history, the Trojans accepting the horse as the gift. But, you know, Liam Cahill turning down the Tip job must be up there with the worst decisions for all parties in history so far, you know, because it has, you know, it hasn't worked from staying on down there.
We're opening a can of worms here now.
But look, it's very much a boom or bust cycle down in Waterford, isn't it? You know, it's either everything's rosy, we're going to win the All-Ireland, we're walking up the steps, we're the greatest team, don't stop believing, blah, 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 or else we're getting rid of our manager. You know, there are stories emanating left, right and centre about Carl has lost the dressing room and players didn't want to play for Carl and they were overtrained and the team was leaked during the week to the media and there's all sorts of stuff going on now. I mean, first of all, I suppose on yesterday, you have to congratulate Clare and say to them, you know, well done to them. They've been the team in the championship so far because they were probably, along with ourselves, the most unheard of team coming into the championship. And they've really turned the form book on its head. And I think credit to Brian Lone on that, even though I believe David Fitzgerald is reluctant to give Brian Lone any credit. And
yeah, he wouldn't even name him on the
stuff. He doesn't even name him on the Sunday game. And by the way, just on the Sunday game last night, I mean, it's a shocking indictment when Ursula Jacob is the best of the three panellists. You know, that's a really bad lookout for that show, but that's a fact. But I was one of the people who tipped Waterford to win yesterday. I thought when I saw all the changes that Clare had made and the fact that Waterford, you know, needed a win as much as we did, I assumed if they'd anything about them, that they'd go down there and win and that Clare would probably be holding their powder dry for the Munster final. But it absolutely didn't happen yesterday. It was a complete meltdown, complete systems failure. I didn't see the game. I just saw brief highlights of it, but it looked as if they never started. They never got a middle and they never got an end. And I suppose Derek McGrath's nonsense doesn't help either because, you know, hyping up a team like that so much, it doesn't help. And I suppose Cahill's tenure now has to be looked at. Has it been a success or has it been less than a success? And I'd be tending towards less than a success, really. I don't know if they're in a far better place now today than they were when Cahill took over. So there's an awful lot of soul searching to be done down there. And best wishes to them on that.
Yeah, you know, one COVID All-Ireland kind of final where they never looked like laying a glove on Limerick in 20 and beating in the semi-final even easier in 21. And, you know, they were gearing up for this year. And then, you know, Limerick were comfortable against them in the Gaelic grounds in the second round, you know. Waterford got a couple of late goals, but it does look like that he couldn't work out Liam Callahan how to bridge that gap, and that might they might have, you know, they might have thought their hand was stronger than it was, and maybe they believe that, you know, the Austin Gleeson conundrum, I suppose, that he, you know, with the discipline problems and all the rest of it, like, and you know, he just doesn't, like, I think with Cal, when it was going well, you know, like his big thing is fitness, hooks, blocks, and all that kind of thing, work rate. But it just, look, you know, an inter-county level, while you need all that stuff, you also need a bit more. And they might not have been able to, you know, to deliver either his game plan, or the game plan wasn't good enough there. But, you know, I think this year they've definitely been found out a bit.
Like even at Clare's, all changed to me. I thought, geez, Clare might score 120 here, or whatever. 331 or 332. Like, David Stirling is very good for him. Like, you know, Shane Donnelly looks a different force again. Like, I know they're given the freedom of Cusick Park and that, but still, they still have bang over the scores that would technically not in the play for, but getting their spot for the month final. And I tell you, Lohan's going to have a hard job picking the 15th month final. And for sure, he's going to use all his subs well, because
everyone's not great, Sean, because you need 20. We hear so much about Limerick's panel and all that, but you probably need 20. Then Waterford's panel as well, like, you know, and the lads they had coming in with various injuries and how great it was and all that. Clare looked to be building a very nice team there.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Like, and like, everyone's kind of shocked at the results, but then, like, their team, there's good momentum going down, there's form, there's a buzz around Clare. Like, when they're in town, they're a few score, like, they've kind of something that I'm kind of jealous of at the moment.
Mentality, I'd say, down there as well, like, you know, with the Clare low in the back of them as well.
They were wrote off a Saturday, or people like Clare beat last team once, they're, yeah, between Tip now beating Cork last day to go through. That was kind of worried, but how things have changed.
Yeah, it's there. Leaves a Limerick Clare Munster final, if that even matters. Cork going to the All Ireland series. Limerick in that one, do you think, or Clare could spring a shock?
Well, I think if Limerick want to go down as the goats, they have to start showing it. You know, they can't, like, they may well go on and win an All-Ireland this year. You know, I don't think Kilkenny are great. I don't think Wexford are any good. Galway, they're always hot and cold.
I think Galway are simmering there. We might get to that now. I think Galway are simmering a bit in the background, going about their
I'm throwing my lot in with Galway this year now. You know, I'm throwing my lot in with Galway this year. They had a tough old start to life under Henry. Unfortunately, he had a terrible loss, and I think as the year progresses for them, they'll get more familiar with him, he'll get more familiar with these players, and I think they could cause an upset, you know, if Limerick don't pull the finger out. Limerick haven't been going to, they haven't been setting the world alight like they have the last couple of years, and without Keane Lynch, there's a big question, like, he's their talisman. He's that man that makes him tick. I know Garóg Hegarty's a ferocious player himself, like, but that Keane Lynch makes him tick, and you know, it's very noticeable now that he's not hurling with him. So it is, you know, I don't think
it's the question if is anyone, you know, we saw Tip needed 2009 to get the better of a very good Kilkenny side in 2010. You know, is there anyone of the caliber of that Tipperary team? I think is the question now to stop Limerick. That, you know, I think this year they are, you know, there are kind of more doubts than there were maybe the last couple of years, which were kind of one season ran into the other. There was, you know, teams had very little chance to develop and all that. But this year, you know, kind of being back to the traditional round robin format or the new traditional, it does, I think it is showing that Limerick are that tiny bit vulnerable there. But the question, yeah, I would say now is, are any of the teams developed enough to kind of win it?
I think Galway are probably the closest to him in terms of being able to match him physically intensely along with Hurlan. My issue with Galway would be the goalie. He's not a great inter-county keeper, as we saw that goal conceded against Kilkenny towards the end of the game. Like, there've always been issues around a goalie.
Yeah.
And a goalie can cost you an All-Ireland final. You know, and I do think Galway have the style of hurling, they have the players, they have the physicality, they have it all. Like, Kilkenny can bring a physicality, they can bring an aggression, they can bring an honest work rate. But we see the tactics That's the hallmark of Cody's team. But his stubbornness to employ proper tactics was on show for the whole world to see the other day when ball after ball after ball was launched into the sky. Like, Limerick will gobble that up all day. You know, I don't think Galway will make that mistake, and I don't think any of the rest of them are going to lay a glove on them.
I don't think Wexford can believe their luck. You know, that they were able to dig out that game. I thought about 50 minutes, Kilkenny just come and sail past them, but Wexford didn't have to do a whole pile of scoring to win that game. You know, coming down the straight, like, it was great for Wexford.
But if you're a back and the opposition team are just constantly launching ball down on top of your head, you know you're going to start, you know you're going to get on top, like, because all the back has to do is spoil, break, kick. But, and that's the way you want to, that's your one-on-one battle, that's the way you'd rather have it. You don't want a lovely ball put in front of a forward in any game, you know, and that's where Kilkenny are lacking. The delivery into the forwards. They think they're back in the noughties with Henry Shefflin and Richie Power and all the boys there. They have to catch their own ball, Owen Larkin. They can't do that anymore. You know, TJ Reid hasn't the same powers as he had before, and he's probably the best fielder in the country. You know, like, so their Rose Ed kind of tactic, like, that's not going to work this year. You know, like, so Wexford, by all, like, they got lucky the weekend. They should not have won that game only for Kilkenny's terrible tactics, terrible delivery of the ball. And they can count themselves lucky they're in All-Ireland round robin or whatever they're in now.
Yeah, absolutely. But the big thing, you know, for them is that they're there.
Yeah, I'll give that into small places with them, I suppose.
That's the difference between a very good first year, you know, decent league form shot. They should make an All-Ireland quarter-final now. And, you know, after that, we'll see if they win one more game, the hype will start building in Wexford and all the rest of it. But they do look limited. You know, if you did draw them in a knockout game, you wouldn't be too worried, I think.
We won't done it to 2023, so it's all right. Or four, or five, maybe six, I don't know.
Yeah, and you catch the football on Saturday night, Saturday evening. We're headed for the Salton Cup after a loss to Limerick.
No, it didn't.
Even yours. Season ticket holder, aren't you?
maybe we should have scored them on the podcast before the Limerick game. Yeah. By all accounts, it was a desperately poor game.
You know, Limerick are probably developing faster than Tip now. They seem to, you know, playing a higher league and all that. They seem to be kind of, again, building a nice team there as well. They were in the doldrums for a few years. So, look, the prize for them is a Munster final against Kerry, where there'll only be one outcome, but for Tip, you know, I don't know what the appetite would be like for the Talton Cup now, but you know, look, they should be beating Carlow in the first round of it, and then you might get a bit of momentum, get back to Croke Park again, where Tip kind of do have a very good record, this team. So, you know, it could turn into a kind of decent year, like promotion secured as well. So
yeah
I think it's great. I think at the start of the year, Kevin, promotion was the number one thing to get out of Division 4. Obviously, to get to a Munster final would have been nice. And as you said, it didn't happen. And we were missing three or four lads around the middle there who usually bring plenty of legs and plenty of energy to the team. And they were missed. And talking to a couple of guys who were at the game, said it was as poor a performance I've seen from Tipperary in a long time. And generally, it was a very poor game of football, you know, which I thought was interesting to hear as well. But look at it. They've got Carlow coming up. As you said, it's a game they'd be expected to win. And then they're into a quarter final. And anything can happen from then. I suppose we just wish them the best of luck. It's good to see that some Tipperary team is still involved. I don't know, did any of you think that Davy Fitzgerald was doing an interview for the Dublin job last night on the Sunday game, because he was very, very complimentary to the Dubs. You know, he may not be complimentary to his own full back from the 95 to 97 era, but he was certainly complimentary to the Dubs last night.
Yeah, I think, look, it's probably one of the few places he can now go, you know, and look, it'd be absolutely easy for anyone to give Dublin a lift. Over the next couple, they look like a team without an identity the moment. Matty Kenny, like, his reign, you know, from the Leash defeat and all that, he never got that marquee win, I suppose, that he needed. Arguably, like, you know, they did get that in Parnell Park, beating, I think it was Galway in the round robin or drawn, not sure what the result, but then, you know, all that work being undone by losing the knockout game to Leash, then, like, you know, and obviously that feeding into Tip's rehabilitation on the way to the 2019 All Ireland, but I think it just hasn't worked for him.
Yeah, I think the other thing from the weekend as well, Kevin, just talking to a couple of Kilkenny lads today, they seem very united, Kilkenny lads, at the moment in that they want Brian Cody out. You know, I've lots of lads that would have been very much in the Cody camp were absolutely disgusted with the performance on Saturday night. As the boys have alluded to there, high ball after high ball being reined in on top of the Wexford backs and it coming back out on them, that, you know, they don't have the Shefflins or the Larkins or the, you know, the Richie Powers up there to win ball anymore. And they seem to have made no attempt even to play the horrible modern game. And they seem to be stuck in some sort of a 2006, 2007, 2008 time warp, you know. So
I think, you know, for the first 20 minutes of any game, they look world beaters and then teams just figure them out. You know, I think that's it's there's something there, like they all start well, but teams might settle into kind of just being like, realize that there's going to be very little variation here. And, you know, just they can just settle into expecting the long either diagonals or straight down the field. But like, yeah, I think with every passing year, Cody, like the legacy might be diluted that tiny bit unless he can knock one final All Ireland out, which, you know, I think he wants to go on that high, but you don't always get to choose how you go out of inter-county management. Very few do, you know. So maybe should have set sail in 2015.
So he definitely won't be going out with an All Ireland win anyway. Not the way they're playing. And what's very interesting, their under 20 management in the final there yesterday, they played a sweeper. They initiated a sweeper against Limerick. It's very interesting to see that, like, an old traditional power like Kilkenny was 15-15 and you know, but those boys there put a bit of thought into what they needed to do to beat Limerick, and they played a sweeper and it worked for them. Now, I would be a fan of a sweeper, but they did what they needed to do to win a match. And then on the flip side, then while working Kilkenny, you hear all the stories and the disgruntledness of Kilkenny's people today with Brian Cody. Brian Cody won't evolve his team, you know, and it's probably like the players are not as good as Henry Shefflin was back in the day, listen, but they're not poor players either. You know, they're poorly coached now. You know, and we just touched back to the Laois victory over Dublin that time, and was it Westmeath? Did Tipperary beat Westmeath on the way to an All-Ireland final? And but they struggled with them. You know, well-coached teams are very hard to beat. And when we say that Tip started the blaze of glory against Cork, and Kilkenny started blaze of glory against Wexford, when you're playing intuition hurling and off the cuff and just the free-for-all hurl, after a few minutes, that stops working. The team with the better plan will come out on top, and the tactics will be the word of the winter now. We don't have any, unfortunately.
Yeah, I wonder, can we look forward to the 2032 version of the Miller Shield now, so kind of things go again.
The way it's going, I might get a run and that be safe.
Yeah. I don't think you were too far away from the last time. So. The phone must have been on that weekend, I'd say.
Hey, I always carry the boots in the bag just in case. I'd bring the boots and the boot and the helmet just in case.
You're like going to an old Junior B match. Right, folks, we better leave it there. We'll be back again. Thanks for your efforts. Hopefully, next time we chat, Tipperary hurling will be in a better place, but at least we'll have the club season to look forward to.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, lads.
Thanks, lads.
deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code GLOW.